Side Hustle Show 110, monetizing your art in the path to 1,000 true fans.
Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
Hey everybody, Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show. This is episode 110, How to Monetize Your Art and the Path to 1,000 True Fans. And while in this case we are talking about actual art, cartoons actually, art in the sense of this title could really mean any work that you're creating that other people could and should value. My guest is Steph Halligan, who runs EmpoweredDollar.com. which is the best debt-crushing, freedom-fighting comic blog, and I'm taking that directly from her title tag, and arttoself.com, a daily affirmation email service with the message being delivered through Steph's drawings. She actually creates these hand-drawn cartoons with, you know, powerful messages. It's really good stuff. And likewise, there's a ton of... She brings a ton of great value in this episode about creating the work you love and finding the people, finding the customers, finding the support group that's going to pay you to do that. So all the notes and highlights along with Steph's top tips are available to you in a free downloadable PDF at sidehustlenation.com/110 or through the link in the episode description of your podcast player app. And a big thanks to Matt Giovanniski, I don't know how to say his name, from episode 73 for the intro here. News and updates before we get into it. Side Hustle Nation just celebrated its 2-year birthday this week. So it's, you know, what a fun adventure it's been, and just looking forward to many, many more. So thank you so much for tuning in. I couldn't do it without you. Very honored and flattered that you choose to spend part of your day with me. And with that, I won't waste any more of your time with this rambling intro, and we'll get right into it with Steph Halligan from EmpoweredDollar.com and ArtToSell.com. Hey, Steph, welcome to the Side Hustle Show.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
Let's get started with your first side hustle, which, am I guessing correctly, was this EmpoweredDollar.com?
Yeah, blog? That's right. I was a big consumer of personal finance blogs for a very long time, and wanted to get my voice out there, so decided to jump into the crowded space of personal finance websites and started my own blog about 3 years ago. EmpoweredDollar.com.
Okay. What was the premise of the site? Just talking about your journey in I guess most people start like, I'm gonna pay down my debt, or
sure. Well, you know, it's funny. I actually didn't start with my journey. I had every intention to make money from this website right when I launched it. So I started it as a blog for mothers to teach their teenagers good money habits. And basically it was my outlet for what you should be doing with your teenagers and college students that I was never taught growing up. And my logic was that moms had money, college students and broke 20 somethings did not. So I would find a way to make money from moms, even though I'm not a mom myself.
Okay. And, well, that was the next question. Like, are you speaking to this market?
No. Yeah. Not a mom. Hated writing every single post. Could not relate to what I was putting out there. And so decided to pivot to my own story, which was getting really aggressive with paying down my student loan debt, chronicling that journey, and finding ways to, all sorts of random ways to monetize the blog while I was really just laying my story out there.
Do you mind sharing how the blog did end up making some money, or did it?
Oh, it did not. The first 2 years was definitely just a blog for blog's sake. Okay. I started getting really creative and doing random giveaways. So I would either be paid in product or in money to do things that, you know, were kind of not really related to personal finance, but was a chance for me to give back to my audience. You know, I gave away coffee, I gave away, gift cards, things that weren't quite related, but I was just trying to experiment with ways to to make money and build readership, but it was flatlining for a while. And it was just really my outlet. And then about a year ago, I made a big shift to drawing cartoons on it, and taking a completely different approach than just sharing my story online and actually sharing my story through comics, which was, that was a big shift, I think, for the blog right there.
I really like this part of the journey. Like, hey, I started out speaking to people I probably didn't have any business speaking to, and it was just a pain in the butt to come up with these articles and write this stuff, you know, going at, like, trying to make money from it, right? And then it was, you know, now is my personal journey, and you know, starting to get some sponsored posts, kind of like some giveaways. But now, like, if you go, if you're listening to this and you go to empowereddollar.com, you'll see it doesn't look anything like any personal finance related site you've ever seen. Like, it's got this awesome, like, you know, superhero on the front and like this really cool, like, comic book font. And this was, I imagine, if you want to share what kind of happened after starting these cartoons, because this seems like a really cool way to stand out in a crowded space.
Yeah, well, and you know, it's so funny because I was doing personal finance work professionally. I was running this blog, and my entire life I've wanted to be a cartoonist. I've always loved art. I've always loved cartoons, and I just never thought about combining the two. It just doesn't seem, you know, it doesn't seem like something that would go together very well. So, I was really, like, I was feeling pretty stagnant. And again, like a lot of people in the personal finance blog space, you know, as amazing as my story was of how I paid off student loans in X number of years, it gets lost in the noise. And I was starting to get really tired of writing the same old stuff. And I think getting debt is kind of a negative topic and all of this stuff. And so when I knew something had to shift, and it came to me slowly over time when more and more people were like, you need to put your cartoons online. You need to put your cartoons online, that I could actually bring it into my personal finance website. And so I created this whole, like, comic that outlines my story that you can download on the site about how I, you know, it's donned on a superhero costume and beat the debt monster. And I was like, if I can make somebody laugh about student loans, then I feel like I've done some good in the world. And I have a place that I can actually draw and put my art online. And it just blew up after that in, you know, in terms of traffic, in terms of readership, in terms of people wanting to hire me. It became a lead generator for doing custom cartoons about money and personal finance and a whole bunch of other stuff that I didn't expect. And I started selling cartoon prints and my comics directly from my website. And so it really, that was a shift where I think I brought a talent that seemed so obvious in my life and combined it in a really odd way in a really crowded space to stand out, and it really took off after that.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. So most personal finance sites, like, make money by referring people to sign up for personal capital or you know, referring, you know, credit card bonuses or something like that, like travel hacking and stuff like that. But now here's an outlet to sell, you know, to sell the art directly and to say, hey, I'm a talented person, like, you can hire me to do these for your business as well.
Right. Yeah. And I became known as the, you know, I was doing some consulting work, kind of in personal finance and financial education. But I really started establishing through the cartoons myself as a creative personal finance person. So not just the cartoons, but my writing and how I approach problems. And, it was so funny how drawing myself in green spandex in a superhero outfit, like, created this amazing personal brand that led to so many other great money-making opportunities.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. What about, I was going to ask, so on the blogging side, was there any specific actions after making this pivot that you took, like, proactively marketing-wise to grow that traffic, or was it something, like, people kind of took notice to and helped spread on their own?
Yeah. It started spreading pretty organically, which was really fun to watch. I think from a marketing perspective, anything visual spreads a lot better than a blog link on social media and things like that. So that was really fun. And then I started doing really targeted cartoons and almost infographic style cartoons. And then that were either explaining a really funny concept about money or a really complicated one. So like I drew a 401 canine, which is it's a dog in a suit to explain how to roll over your 401k.
Okay.
And I sent that out to some certified financial planners who were like, this is great. I'm putting this up on my site, embedding the link. I needed this explained and you did it with cartoons. I would take other people's quotes and ideas and turn them into cartoons and just let them know that I like what they do, and I turned what they said into a comic, and that started picking up a lot of traction. So it was kind of like a sneaky collaboration where I'd send someone a comic about something they said and say, "Hey, I turned this into something fun and visual," and they'd usually end up sharing it. So it was really cool to be able to almost give back with my cartoons that way and turn other people's work into something fun and engaging, and then they were happy to go on and share it for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, whether or not you're a talented cartoonist, I think there's a parallel to draw, like to do something to stand out in whatever niche you are, and kind of like that's super smart idea to stand out. What was, so then that turned into kind of a freelance business or consulting business. And that turned out to be the main moneymaker, the main revenue engine behind the blog. The blog was a lead gen for that business.
Right. Yeah. So it was, I was making most of my money with consulting work, and the Empowered Dollar was a really great way to point people towards that, and people would naturally discover me and ask about my consulting work or ask to hire me for custom cartoons. And so it was more than I think a lead generator after I quit, it was one before. And I would just keep posting my cartoons and my articles on LinkedIn and a whole bunch of other websites to the point where I think I was annoying people, but everyone identified me as the creative personal finance person. And so when a random project would come up, I would get emailed or tagged in posts because people just assumed I would work on a project like that. So it really, having this, I think, in the background was really what gave me the confidence and the client pipeline to venture out on my own and quit my 9-to-5 and do consulting and cartooning full time.
Woohoo! Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, that's really cool. Were the clients, was it a lot of one-off projects, or were they kind of retainer client? Like, hey, I'll create a cartoon for you every month about, whatever topic you want. Or what was the structure of the client relationship like?
Yeah. So, I was working with a few nonprofits doing, designing financial education curriculum. So it was less about cartooning and more about writing. I was hired on a retainer for an online kind of financial services website. And so I was doing kind of creative marketing for them. I ended up drawing one of those whiteboard animations that you see online where you watch the person draw a cartoon as they go. Mm-hmm. Doing that about their financial product and trying to explain something really complicated through cartoons. So that was kind of a retainer relationship. And then I would get random kind of individual requests where people would email me and say, "Hey, my sister has a birthday coming up and I'd like, could you draw a picture of her as a superhero?" or sometimes when I would send cartoons to like people I admire online, "Hey, here's a cartoon I drew of you with a quote. Just want to say you're inspiring what I do." A lot of times they would also ask for a print. So I would end up selling prints to people based on like the digital version of cartoons that I would do. And a couple financial websites have reached out to me and I've done some custom cartoons for them. But yeah, I think the cartoon piece picked up a lot of traction, I think, the end of last year. It had been mostly writing and consulting work up until that point. But I saw this snowball effect as soon as people started recognizing my other really odd, unique talent in the personal finance space. And it was really cool to watch that take off a little bit more.
Yeah, it's funny. I was chatting with Dori Clark, who's traditionally published author and like instructor, college professor type person, and she has a new book coming out called Stand Out, where she's like, look, you can. If you can kind of think of, your one circle of your influence and experience, and then think of this other influence circle of, what you have that most people in this industry don't have, like what makes you unique amongst accountants, amongst engineers, amongst whoever, and where you can combine those, like a little Venn diagram style, like that can be
right.
your sweet spot to stand out. And so like, oh my gosh. And so when I was talking to her, I actually told your story too. So I thought it was cool.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. And I think too, the most unexpected Venn diagrams are the best ones, where you combine something like cartoons and personal finance, but it can be anything. And I've told a couple other personal finance bloggers this, but really just the effort behind wanting to stand out and trying something completely different. I think that's the first step. You don't have to be an extremely talented videographer or a cartoonist or anything, but I think wanting to pursue that Venn diagram to actually stand out is the first step to making that happen.
Let's talk about your new project, arttoself.com. What's that all about?
Yeah. Having done the Empowered Dollar for a while and drawing cartoons and watching the cartoons get a lot of traction, and as much as the cartoons that about personal finance, like the 401k9, and I drew an investing zombie comic, as much as those comics were popular, the comics that I got the most comments on and were most shared and people wanted prints of were all the ones with have inspirational quotes or a little bit about more about my personal journey and less about my financial journey. And those are the ones that people loved and people resonated with and people would email me about to say, hey, I really needed to see that. I was having a bad day and I really liked what you said. And at the same time, I was recognizing that my cartoons were going somewhere and I was getting a little tired of only being able to draw cartoons about money mm-hmm. because someone who's always wanted to be an artist, I wanted another outlet. And as an entrepreneur too, I wanted to start being known as a cartoonist and not necessarily personal finance blogger who happens to do cartoons. So it came a point late last year where I wanted to start a daily art practice for myself. Part of my routine, I don't know if you've read the book, The War on Art, War of Art, but the importance of doing daily creation and carving out time for that. So I really wanted to make art kind of a daily practice for me. And two, as an entrepreneur, I think I was really struggling and being really hard on myself for where I was going and how good I was doing. And so this idea of Art to Self was born, and Art to Self is a daily art. It's like daily art inspiration in your inbox. And so I write a note every day about something that I've gone through or I'm working through, and I draw a cartoon about it. And it's a daily newsletter that comes out. And it's essentially kind of the notes to myself and the messages that I need to hear on any given day. Like, you stop putting so much pressure on yourself and stop beating yourself up, or you're good enough, or you're doing well, or keep going. And I think I'm pretty vulnerable in my newsletter about what I'm going through at the time. But I love waking up to a note about what, how to start my day in a positive place. And then also a chance for me to draw a cartoon every single day and share that with my audience. So Art to Self for me was really the shift to just pure cartoons and my writing, my thoughts, and what I want to put out there without kind of that personal finance label over it.
Right. So now I have a little bit more leeway onto, you know, what we can actually draw. I have not read War of Art yet, but I've heard good things about it. I do like the idea of a daily, just a daily practice, you know, whether that's art or whether that's, you know, anything else you want to be known for. It's like, you know, if you want to be a writer, write, like put in the time. If you want to be an artist, you know, make your art. And here's a unique way to get it out to the world, like in a very accountable way. Like, hey, you've come out and said, hey, this is a daily thing, and so people are like expecting this from you.
Right. Oh yeah. So the accountability is great. It's definitely there. And I think too, for me, it was the shift of putting myself first and creating something, you know, with my own brand, my own product, something that I owned before client work, because for anyone else who does client work, it's so easy to put clients first. And I knew that if I was going to get this out every day, I better do art first thing in the morning. So the accountability to working on my own stuff first, I think was the biggest benefit of starting this kind of website.
Was there a big, you know, celebrated launch, or how did you kind of get the first subscribers for this thing?
Yeah. You know, I was pretty floored, in a good way. I had an email capture landing page up for a month, the month of December, and just started telling people about it. And you went to the page, you couldn't see any cartoons. And I got, you know, almost 100 people to sign up before I even launched. And I think it was because of, you know, they'd seen my cartoons online, you know, from the Empowered Dollar. People knew that a daily art, kind of what to expect from a daily art website from me. So I was really shocked and surprised by, even before launching it, what kind of traction it had. But, and then at the same time, you know, it's a big launch, but then this becomes a really slow daily gain.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it comes out every single day, and I have people sharing it word of mouth every single day, or, you know, it's a steady grow and it's a slow burn. So as excited as I was for launch day, and I, you know, I'd kind of backlogged a few notes and cartoons so that I was prepared for it. It just, I really had to, I think, pump the brakes on my excitement a bit to just know that, you know, great. I had a great baseline of 100 people who were really engaged with what I was doing already. But this is a long-term, very slow game when it comes to daily.
Yeah, absolutely. Who's running the email list? What's your email service provider?
I'm using MailChimp, and I absolutely love them. It's been, as such a visual website, Art to Self is, it just makes it so easy to create these notes and emails in there.
Okay. How's the growth been since then? Like, is there some built-in virality to this where, like, in each note you're kind of encouraging people to share it? How's that working?
Yeah. And that, again, it's been great to experiment with this because it's daily. So I can watch incremental changes that have kind of compounding effects over time. And so one is having kind of an automatic auto subscriber series that's happening in the background. So when someone signs up, they get a welcome email. A couple, you know, a week later, I ask if they'd be willing to share it, if they're really liking Art to Self and being really candid and honest and saying, this is spreading word by word of mouth really incredibly. And so if you like it, would you share it with one other person? That's been really helpful. People have even emailed me after they've gotten that email to say, oh, I didn't think about sharing Art to Self, but then I thought of three more people who would really love this. So that really specific direct ask, not just throwing social media buttons at the bottom of every email, which I have, but to just like explicitly after like 1 or 2 weeks from joining Art to Self saying, hey, can you share this if you like it? Because it helps me. Okay. Has been really cool to see. And then following that a couple weeks later, Art to Self runs entirely off of donations. And so
that was the next question.
Yeah. And so being really explicit about asking for those. So every email, there's an opportunity to share it. With social media buttons, there's an opportunity to donate. There's a large button at the bottom of each email. And then I also just make really direct asks to people once they've kind of been in the and received a couple weeks worth to donate to the cause.
Okay. Who's processing the donations?
I'm using Gumroad right now, and that's also working really nicely.
Okay. And so that's just a, like, you don't have to deliver anything extra, or do you deliver anything extra for people who choose to donate?
No, I mean, I write, I get a notification in my inbox, so I end up writing a personal note, and I think I'd love to, I imagine this turning into a book one day or a compilation of something, and so doing something nice for the people who've donated early, I think I want to start thinking about what I can do for them. But every time I see someone donate, I get a notification in my inbox, and it's like, it makes me so happy. And I write them a note back just to thank them for the support.
Yes. That's really cool. So entirely donation based. I was going to be like, so is there a sponsored cartoon once a week? That's like, this is brought to you by mint.com. And he says,
No, that's exactly why I left the personal finance cartoon space and moved to this.
No, not selling out. No, so all right, donation based. What kind of take rate do you see on the donations? Like, this is really interesting stuff.
Yeah, and again too, it's really blowing me away because, you know, as I launched this and writing these notes. So I'm writing these notes. They're really notes to myself. It's called arttoself.com. So they're notes to myself. They're cartoons that I want to draw and need to hear that day. And they were just really resonating with people so much, so quickly, that even the first couple days I was getting people donating before I started asking for donations, because people were like, I love what you do. Someone said to me, this is like Seth Godin only with cartoons. And I was like, wow, that's a really great way of putting it, of just these short notes. And so it was amazing that that people could immediately see the value even before I had hardly put out any posts. And I think a lot of that has to do with the relatability and the honesty and really just the directness of my ask for donations. So I've got, you know, I'm very explicit that this is what funds this work. I love to do it, but it's a lot of work to do this every single day.
Yeah.
So I've gotten a combination of really amazing one-time donations at pretty good sums. And I also have monthly subscriptions. So I'm starting to build a readership that's signed up to a monthly subscription of either $3 or $7 a month. And those are starting to add up and compound over time. So even just the other day, you know, opening up my email box and seeing a payment from Gumroad, and I was like, where did this come from? And then I remembered it was from this recurring revenue that's starting to build up because people are subscribing. And for them, you know, $3 or $7 a month to get an email every single day that they actually like to read and they look forward to is nothing. But as my readership is growing and as it's adding up over time, I'm seeing the potential for this to be something really sustainable and, you know, directly making money from my art, which is still kind of blowing my mind.
I know, that's like that's the dream of every artist. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they say, you know, the thousand true fans theory. If you get 1,000 people to pay you $100 a year, then you're in good shape. And now seven bucks a month will almost get you there, actually.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm really excited to see where this goes. And it's still growing very steadily. And again, I'm pretty surprised by the number of people that have subscribed already. The open rates are really like exciting to just, people are actually reading these every single day. And the notes I get back from people who are like, I literally skim my inbox to see, open your note and then close my email because it's the only one I want to read. And that is just, it's a huge affirmation that I can kind of break through the clutter of email and people actually are sharing arttoself.com. They're going there. They're telling their coworkers verbally. I've been getting pictures from people who've been hanging up Art to Self cartoons in their office. And it's been really cool. And I think that slow and steady burn and that slow and steady growth to that 1,000 true fans, even with this like nominal subscription rate, I can just it feels sustainable already, even just the first couple months. And I'm really excited to see how it grows from there.
Yeah, first we'll have to do a follow-up, you know, a year from now and see where we're at. But you think of like the businesses that were built on, you know, on art, like I'm thinking of the oatmeal, right? Where it's transferred into, you know, book deals and, you know, massive fan base, or like Help a Reporter started as like just a simple email newsletter. I don't know how many millions of dollars Peter Shankman eventually sold it for. What's the other one? Like Thrillist didn't start as like as a newsletter. And so like this, the subscriber base, you know, the art may be the product, but the subscriber base is the asset. And so that's pretty cool to be building that up. And people kind of know what they're getting into. Like there's not some big sales pitch coming down the road. It's like, look, if you want to donate, thank you. If not, here it is.
Yeah. And it's free, you know, no barrier to entry. And it's just funny too, I think from an art perspective, but probably any creative or any online entrepreneur endeavor, nobody is handing you a formula to say, and this is how you make money. I mean, they do in some spaces, like obviously personal finance space was like, and then, you know, here's a credit card affiliate link you can throw up there and make money. And so I think, you know, no one, you have to create your own invitation to make money from something wildly different. And that was kind of the journey with Art to Self, which was, what if I just ask for donations? What if I don't sell a single thing? What if it's a free service and I do it out of love and because I like creating and because I need these notes myself and see what happens. And I think that kind of the difference, that different business model really opened me up to think about business differently. But also I think people can tell they're not being sold to. They if they love it, they love it. They can participate in it and get it for free. And and if it really calls to them, they can donate too.
Yeah, I've seen some podcasters doing this actually with a service called Patreon. I think it's patreon.com where you set up.
Oh, I've heard of that. Yeah.
Like Joshua Sheets, who we had on last month or a month or two ago, talking about like tax. He's like, he runs the Radical Personal Finance podcast, and he's up to like $1,000 a month, like recurring donation. I think he puts out a daily show, but he's up to like $1,000 a month, you know, from his listeners. And he says, look, if I get to 5 or 6 or whatever his target is, like I won't have to take sponsorships on the show. I won't have to dilute the content of the show with sponsors if it can be kind of crowdfunded, if it can be sourced from the community. Lots of cool stuff.
Yeah. And there's a really great book about that. I think it's called The Art of Asking, just about a musician's journey of just reaching out directly to fans and saying, will you support this directly? And the willingness that people have to do that is pretty astounding. But you kind of have to have the guts to ask and, you know, create your entire business model or at least part of it off of the fact that of other people's generosity. And I think that takes a lot of guts too.
Yeah. You see this as something that will eventually replace the consulting business?
Oh yeah. I would love that. You know, either again, I'm coming up on, you know, I've been doing this for 2.5 months, which doesn't seem like a lot, but when it's daily, I've got, you know, almost 100 cartoons drawn already. I'd love to turn this into a book. I still love doing them. And so my energy to do them is, I don't see an end in sight in terms of the actual daily website. And so building and continuing these subscriptions, you know, the more readers I get, like you said, they know exactly what they're buying into. And so the more I can refine my process of asking or even getting people into my email list, I think the more it will compound and grow. And oh my gosh, I'd love to be a full-time cartoonist who just draws whatever I want to draw and get paid to do it. That is definitely the dream.
That's the dream. I love it. Just out of curiosity, are you batch processing these at all? Or are you like actually sitting down and creating like tomorrow's today?
Yeah, it's tomorrow's today. I like that. It's interesting because these are really personal notes. It's like things that I'm going through, you know, reminders that I need for this week because I'm going through this bit of struggle or I'm having a really great week. And so what I'll do is when I'm in the mood to draw and write, I will draw and write, and I'll do like 7 of these in one day and just click along. And then there are days where I just feel terrible. And I'm like, oh gosh, I'm running out of posts. Like there's nothing going up tomorrow, but I really don't feel like doing this. Why is it? And I kind of dig through that myself and I'm like, oh, it's because I'm a little scared about where this is going, or there's a lot of uncertainty about art to self. And so I'm like, well, I need to draw a cartoon about that. And so that becomes kind of the natural note for tomorrow, which is if I get stuck doing this work, I draw a cartoon about why I'm feeling stuck. And that's the one that goes out. And that's usually the one that resonates most with people. So it becomes kind of, it ebbs and flows in terms of how I batch it, just depending on the kind of state that I'm in at the time.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, Steph, thanks so much for joining me and joining Side Hustle Nation here. I urge everyone to check this stuff out at art2self.com. We'll link to that in the show notes as well. And empoweddollar.com for some the 401k9 and the other the other personal finance cartoons. And we'll wrap things up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
Oh, I would say my number one tip would be to try something different, to not be afraid to try something really weird and different, but also to push yourself to stand out. It can be really scary to stand out at first, but that's, I think, where the magic lies in the online space, especially a crowded one, if you feel like you're in a crowded niche like personal finance or something. But yeah, push yourself to be different. Try something radically different and put some effort into it. And I think you'll be amazed by the kind of reception you'll get from other people.
I like it. Thanks so much, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Great. Thanks.
It's radically different to apply Steph's advice. You think there's legs to this kind of fan-supported creative business? I mean, it's definitely something that others have made work, and it sounds like she's off to a great start as well. But curious to hear your thoughts on it. Be sure to drop by the show notes for this episode at sidehustlenation.com/110. That's 110. And leave a comment with your biggest takeaway from the episode. And while you're there, be sure to grab the free downloadable PDF with all the notes and highlights from this week's call with Steph. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, let's go out there, make something happen, and I'll see you next Thursday morning for another edition of The Side Hustle Show.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.
As a Side Hustle Show listener, I know you're driven. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. But I also know you can end up hustling and driving yourself into exhaustion, overwhelm, and even burnout if you don't stay anchored to why you're doing it. That's why I want to recommend another podcast that will massively support your side hustle. It's called What Drives You with host Kevin Miller. Kevin's a former pro athlete. He's a lifelong entrepreneur who started 19 different businesses. He's a father of 9 kids, an author, and a mountain adventurer as well. He knows both the glory and the dark side of drive and has devoted his life to helping people who want to drive further, faster, but also enjoy the ride every single day. He brings on today's most influential people in personal and business development to see what drives them and get their guidance on the key ingredients that power our own drive. If you want to fully harness your drive and find peace and fulfillment in the process, go find What Drives You with Kevin Miller wherever you listen to podcasts.